Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing word. Here now is our guest speaker, Pastor Mike Haynes, with today's message. The truth be told for the saving of
souls. We're going to get into a subject today on the importance of a godly assignment. On the things that he wanted me to focus in as part of my ministry. And the majority of my ministry now is in prisons. And so, I go to London Correctional, and we're getting back into doing other ministries around the state that are part of Sun Rain Prison Ministries. But now that we're getting back in, we're going to be going, hopefully, we're going to London, we'll be going to Allen. We'll be going to some other places around the state. We used to go to 22 prisons around the state of Ohio. Pastor Fred and I started off in that ministry years ago. And we're finding that in prisons, the men are excited about the things of God. I mean, there's an excitement there. There's a passion there. God is doing something there. And so we are grateful that we now have the opportunity to go back, and we're looking forward to going back to some of the other places that we've ministered in the past. So just keep that up in prayer. But my mission, basically, is to do three things now from last year, and is to do the work of the evangelists, to prepare Christians for the coming of the Lord, and to teach and to preach sound doctrine. And as I thought about that, the Holy Spirit said, you know, this is what the work of the modern church is to be. This is what the work of the, particularly now, of the American church. We need to start getting people saved. And I'm glad to hear that this church is doing that with the various outreaches in the youth and with the various opportunities we have to serve here. I'm glad that that's happening. But each one of us, the church is called to do the work of an evangelist, to prepare people for the coming of the Lord, and to preach and teach sound doctrine. And the reason we know that the Lord is coming, we can see the signs of His coming. If you can't see it, then you're blind. You can't see. You have to be able to see that. We all have to be in agreement on that. I just can't see how anybody could be blind to that. The second thing is that we know that persecution is coming. We see it. It is happening. It's been happening in China. It's been happening, of course, in North Korea. It's been happening in Indonesia, in Iran, in Iraq, and in Turkey. You know, now we see it happening right to our northern neighbor here in Canada. And so we know that we're next. And so it becomes very critical now that we know what we believe. We got to stand on it. We're going to have to stand on it. When the fires of persecution come here, we've got to know what we believe, and we're willing to stand on it. Yea, we're willing to die for it if necessary. And so we need to know what it is that we believe. We have to be able to explain it to people on that which we believe. And so that is the prerogative of our ministry now, to do those three things. But I want to say as we go get into this that God has called each and every one of us in here to an assignment, a mission, a task that He wants us to accomplish for the kingdom. You are called as an ambassador for Christ with a ministry of reconciliation. You are called. We all are called, really, to be ambassadors for Christ. And the ministry we have is a ministry of reconciliation, reconciling lost people to God. You and I are called to complete our assignment for the reward that God has promised us. He says if you do what he's called you to do and follow through with your ministry completed, there will be a reward. And I'm reminded of a scripture that talks about this, and it's in Matthew 25, verses 13 to 30. And this particular scripture talks about, and we've read it, you know it, if you're familiar with your Bible, you know this scripture, is the giving of the talents. It talks about the talents where it says that the master of the house on the day he was leaving, began to give assignments, and in this case it's called talents, to his servants. In verse 14 is that for the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling to a far country, and he called his servants, and he delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, unto two he gave 2, and to another 1, and to everyone according to their several ability, and straightway he went on his journey. And I want to stop right there, because I want to focus on that word ability there. The word ability there is attached to assignment. In other words, you know, he gave them resources. He gave them a job based on their ability, based on their ability. God can give us an assignment based on our ability to accomplish the assignment. He's not going to give you more than you can do. He's not, you know, and this is by his estimation, not yours. He's not going to give you more than you can do. He gives you to your ability. How does he know what you are capable of? Because he's built into you what you're capable of. He gives you more of his ability. His assignment to you is going to be based on your ability. Verse 16 says, and then he that had received the 5 talents, he traded with the same and made 5 other talents. And likewise, the one who received the 2, he gained 2 more talents. But he who had received the 1 went and digged into the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now, this individual, stop there, he hid his talent. He did not use that which he had according to his ability. He did not do the assignment that God gave him to do. He hid it. That's what he did. Verse 19. Now, after a long time, the Lord of the servant cometh and reckoned with him. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliver unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained before thee 5 talents more. He accomplished his assignment. He accomplished his mission. He brought a profit for the master. Verse 21. And the Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Now, notice here that this servant, because of what he did, received the reward. And what was the reward? The reward was the accommodation by God. Well done, good and faithful servant. You know, that's something we all want to hear, right? In other words, we on Judgment Day, when we go before the Lord, you know, and he begins to open up the books and he examines our life, we want to hear him say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. That's the reward. We want to hear him say to us in front of all of eternity, in front of all of everyone, as you and I stand before him and he opens the book and he begins to examine our work. We want him to say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. What a reward. Notice here that the scripture in the 22nd verse, he had received the 2 talents, came and said, Lord, thou delivered to me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them. Notice what his reward was. Same thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. And it's an interesting thing. It's no matter what you've been called to do, no matter what you assignments you've been given, the reward is the same. In other words, you know, one had 5 and one had 2 and one had 1, but they all were going to get the same reward. The reward is well done. You did what you were capable of doing. You did what you had ability to do. He who had the 2 talents got the same reward as the one who had 5 talents. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. He said, I will make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And then that which had received the 1 talent, verse 24, came and said, Lord, I know that thou art a hard man, and reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not sowed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, thou hast that which is thine. And the Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I have not sown, and I gather where I have not strawed. He said, thou art to therefore put my money into the exchanges, and then at my coming I would have received mine with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him that has the 10 talents. For unto everyone that has, it shall be given unto, and he that has abundance, but For he that has not, it shall be taken away that which he has. And cast, here it is, that unprofitable servant into outer darkness. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The reward from God is the same for all as they accomplish their mission. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's the reward. God is pleased with your work. We want to hear that. You know, but we want to be profitable. Profitable servants, not unprofitable, but profitable servants of God. We are profitable servants when we complete the assignment God has given to each of us as ambassadors for Christ. We'll be profitable. We'll complete the assignment. And that's what we are called to do as Christians. We are called to be ambassadors. We are called to complete the assignment. And so today I want to spend a little time and I'm going to talk about the power of a godly assignment. We all are created with a purpose in mind. We are here to accomplish God's purpose for our life. We do not live for ourselves, but we have work to do for the Lord to bring him glory. God has work. He has a mission, his assignment for each one of us that we are called to accomplish using his power and his authority to do it. I'm reminded in Luke chapter 2, there is an event there when Jesus slipped away from Mary and Joseph, and they realized that he was missing. That we normally review this scripture for some reason during Christmas time, but we realized that Jesus slipped away from his mother, Mary, and his father, Joseph. And they were looking for him. They went all over, went back and looked all over Jerusalem trying to find him. And then they went to the temple. They saw him and they found him in the temple. And when they questioned him about why he had slipped away from them, and they said, we've been looking all over for you. He said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? The boy Jesus realized that he had an assignment, even at 12 years old, to care for his father's business. Let's fast forward now several years. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, 21, Jesus going to the synagogue. He outlines in this particular scripture what we will call his mission statement. He details his specific assignment as given to him as Savior and Lord. He says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of the Lord's favor. And he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant, set it down. Eyes of everyone on the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Now I want you to notice what Jesus' statement of his assignment is in his mission. Number one, to preach the gospel. He wants to preach the death, burial, resurrection of himself as the means for salvation to all who are poor in spirit in the world. They can only be saved through his death and gain the favor of God. He wanted to proclaim the release of the captives of individuals from sin and the consequence of spiritual death. He also came to give those the recovery of sight for those who are spiritually and physically blind, who cannot see the love and the grace of God in creation. He came to set those free that who are oppressed and tormented, tortured by the devil, to give them power to resist the devil in their life. He claimed to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the timeline for the desire of God to bless his people with abundant life. What an assignment he had. What an assignment. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus accomplish his mission? Did Jesus accomplish his assignment? We want to deal with now this thought of the power of an assignment. The main scripture we're going to deal with here is in 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 1 to 10. I'm going to read this scripture to you, and then I want to come back and I want to put it in the context because you got to understand the context of this scripture, and then we'll unpack it, we'll delve down into it and see what this is telling us about a godly assignment. 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 1 to 10. Now before there came a man of God from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord. while Jeroboam was standing by the altar to burn incense. He cried against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a son shall be born to the house of David, Joash by name, and on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places, which burns incense unto you, and human bones shall be burned on you. Then he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be split apart, and the ashes which are in it shall be poured out. Now then the king heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel. Jeroboam, who was the king, stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, seize him. But his hand, when he had stretched it out against him, dried up, and he could not draw it back to himself. The altar also was split apart, and ashes were poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. The king said to the man of God, please entreat the Lord, your God, pray for me that my hand may be restored to me. So the man of God entreated the Lord. The king's hand was restored to him, and it became as it was before. Then the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. But the man of God said to the king, if you were to give me half of your house, I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread or drink water in this place. For so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall not eat bread, nor drink water, nor return by the way which you came. So he went another way and did not return by the way which he came. Now I want to give the context of this scripture because it's fascinating. Scripture. In 1 Kings chapter 12, this is the chapter before, we get the context of what is happening in chapter 13. In chapter 12, we see Solomon passing away and leaving his son, Rehoboam, the heir to the throne. But Rehoboam was not the man that his father was. His father had counselors to help him, older gentlemen that knew the state of the kingdom. But Rehoboam was a guy, he was a young guy, wanted to make his own way, right? He wanted to do his own thing. He had his buddies that he grew up with him, and he took and replaced all of his father's counselors and put his men, his buddies in these places. And they advised him to do something that was against good counsel. They advised him to increase the assessment of taxes on the people and advised him to double what his father had done. This caused rebellion in the kingdom. And so, because people did not want to pay those double taxes. So his father's enemy by the name of Jeroboam, an enemy of his father, took advantage of this split and gathered 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel against King Rehoboam, and civil war began. And Israel was split into two separate kingdoms. Judah, led by Rehoboam, which included two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, and 10 tribes aligned with Jeroboam. And then there is the notion of the man of God, the same man of God who would later in chapter 13 go and talk to Jeroboam. His name in scripture is called Shemaiah. Shemaiah, the man of God, under the direction of God, spoke to Rehoboam, the king of Judah, and told the king not to fight against his own people. Don't fight against your own people. These are your own people. Even though they're split off, there's rebellion, they've gone, and they're following Jeroboam. Don't fight against your own people. Rehoboam listened to the man of God, ended the civil war with Jeroboam. And so now we have two separate kingdoms. Shemaiah, his name means one who hears God or one who heard from God. That's what Shemaiah means. Jeroboam, afraid that the people aligned with him would leave and go back to Jerusalem to worship. That's what they've been instructed to do, to go to Jerusalem and worship. He established the city of Bethel as the place of worship, and he commissioned priests and convinced people to worship there instead of going to Jerusalem. In the eyes of God, this was idolatry. God sent Shemaiah, the man of God, to address the idolatry of King Jeroboam of Israel. And this is the context of 1 Kings chapter 13. Now, I want you to listen to the instructions that the man of God received from God as he goes on his assignment. What did God tell him was his assignment? God told him to speak to the idolatry of the king of Jeroboam. Announce the future king of Israel who would correct the idolatry of his people. He was instructed to show a sign that the Lord had spoken to him, and by the power of God, he split the altar apart and the ashes of the sacrifice was poured out. He was instructed that after he had done these things that he was not to eat bread nor drink water nor return by the same way he came. I want you to notice that when he did these things, Jeroboam saw Shemaiah. He told his soldiers to seize him. He stretched out his hand and it dried up. He asked Shemaiah to pray for him, and he did, and it was restored, and the king offered him a reward. I'll give you a reward for what you've done. Notice in verse 9, Shemaiah's response, very critical, his response. For so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, he said. You shall not eat bread, nor drink water, nor return by the way in which you came. He specifies, he says, this is what God told me to do. Now, let's take a moment to understand what's the difference between a mission and an assignment. A mission and an assignment. A mission is what is accomplished. Now, if anyone here ever been in the military, yeah, okay. Well, you might understand what a mission is. A mission, because we get missions in the military. You got a mission. Your mission is. Your mission is to what is to be accomplished. It's the finished product. I want you to take the hill. That's your mission, a finished product. An assignment is the individual tasks, activities, and events that lead to the mission being accomplished. Here's the steps to do to grab the mountain, to take the mountain. There's a difference between a calling and an assignment. A calling is for a lifetime. Everyone in this room have been called to be an ambassador for Christ. It's a lifetime calling. When you ask Jesus Christ to become your Savior and Lord, he put a calling on you, and the calling for you is to be a spokesman for the kingdom of God. You've been called to be an ambassador, which means that you speak what he tells you to speak. You don't have your own opinion. Ambassador doesn't have their own opinion. They speak what their government tells them to speak. They give the policies of the government that they represent. You are called to give the policies of the government of the kingdom of God as specified by the constitution of that kingdom in your word of God. Since we are celebrating Independence Day, here is your constitution as a Christian. And that's what you give. When someone asks you, what is your opinion on something? You say, well, the word of God says, and that's what it is. What's your opinion? Well, my opinion is what the word of God says it is. I don't have any opinion separate because I represent what the word of God says. And so you have a calling. It's a lifetime. Either the only time this is going to end is when Jesus returns to get you and you're raptured, or you die a natural death. But an assignment is the individual tasks and activities and events that lead to the accomplishment of the mission, and it is limited in time. It has a completion date. It's programmed into the calling, and you have a beginning and you have an end associated with it. Give you an example. You know, you're called to be an ambassador for Christ. That's your calling, but you may get an assignment to be on a mission field. You may get your assignment may be to be in street ministry. You may get your assignment to be in prison ministry like me. You may get your assignment to go to the nursing homes. You may get your assignment to go in corporate America and be in a Fortune 500 company and lead that company under the kingdom of God. And I hope someone has an assignment to go into government and lead this government back to God. I hope somebody gets an assignment like that. Because the people that's there don't have that assignment right now. Nevertheless, that's your assignment. That's what God called you to do. It has a beginning. It has an end. But you're an ambassador for Christ. We all have an assignment from God. Every one of us. You and I were born with the ability to complete every assignment that God would give us. We see that when we look at Jeremiah, his life, Jeremiah 1:5. God tells him in that scripture, he said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. And I've appointed you, that's his assignment, to be a prophet to the nations. What was his assignment? His assignment was to be a prophet to the nations. He was born with that assignment from God, created to be God's spokesman to the nations. He was born for that. God built that into him. God is building into you what your assignment is. You may not know what it is. You may not have realized what it is yet, but it is built into you what God is calling you to do. So, but what is this notion of, how do we define this thing? How do we view this notion of an assignment? How does it work? Well, here's how it works. An assignment, of course, is specific tasks to be undertaken under the authority of a superior. You in the military would understand that. A specific task assigned to be undertaken under the authority of a superior. The superior authority assigns what is to be done, how it's to be done, the boundaries of the activity to be done and to be accomplished, the time it should take to get it accomplished, and the amount of resources that it should be used so that you can complete your tasks. There's a higher authority that says, here's what I want done, here's when I want it done, here's what you can use to get it done. And you have my power, my authority. If anybody asks you why you're doing what you're doing, you tell them because I told you to do it. And then we carry out the assignment. I'll give you an example. I used to work at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, the Air Force. And I worked there. I was given an assignment to brief a four-star general every morning at 8:30 in the morning sharp. And my job was to present the command support operations around the world. That means I had to be at work at 6:30 a.m. I had to work from 6:30 to 8:15 to gather data from around the world, develop PowerPoint slides which had to be formatted in a specific way with no more than four lines on each slide. The general specified what he wanted to see in that briefing, how it was to be presented to him, when he wanted to see it. He wanted me to be prepared to answer all of his questions about the data. In fact, he wanted me to anticipate his questions and present them before he asked. If he had to ask, I messed up. I was told that's what a good staff officer is supposed to do. And this was my assignment, to be specific and detailed. And he also told me this. He said, he told me that if I want to get certain information, and that I could always use his name and his rank to get the information. Therefore, if I went to someone and I said, I need this information, all I had to tell them was the general wants this information and they cannot deny me that information. If they denied me the information, they was denying him the information, and no one would deny him the information. I was under his authority and could speak for him in getting this information. And that people had to give me what I needed. That's the power of working under assignment. Now let's look at this, a biblical assignment. A biblical assignment is a specific activity given as a commission to a person chosen by God to be accomplished according to the Father's instructions in accordance with his will. It's an assignment given to believers who are commissioned by God to act in his authority and to accomplish his will. A biblical assignment can only be given to a believer because it requires the believer to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish it.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com. or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.